Welcome back to AI Micro Skills, where we're trying to empower marketers to master AI and revolutionize their practices. Today, I'm excited because we're venturing a little bit off the beaten path of marketing to talk about music with Dr. Maya Ackerman, who's the CEO and co-founder of Wave AI, around how AI is transforming the music space. So Maya, thank you so much for joining me on the show.
It's a real pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So I'd love to dive into like your backstory, like how this even became a thing for you. I didn't even realize AI was in music until a few weeks ago when a mutual friend of ours introduced me to it. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, of course it is. Because I mean, for lyric writing, but then even like music and being able to and just improve the melody or the beat or whatever is going on. I'm like, it just makes a lot of sense. AI, it just seems like AI is creeping into everything, you know, and it's helping everything. But how did it get started for you? What inspired you to mix these two things together?
Yeah, it's really quite an unusual story. I come from an academic background. I got my PhD at the University of Waterloo, focusing on foundational machine learning, and then continued down the academic path, did my postdocs at Caltech, then UC San Diego. And in 2014, discovered a little known research field known as computational creativity, group of a couple of hundred researchers, mostly out of Europe, who were making machines that made music and art and poetry and dance choreography and recipes since about the 1980s, even dating as far as the 1950s. It was just a really, really small number of people who were focusing on it. And there really wasn't any kind of spotlight on it. That's before IBM, before Microsoft, before Google, before any of these big companies even started dabbling in it. What helped me recognize the opportunity specifically in music was that during my PhD, I took voice lessons from an opera singer and started performing semi-professionally within a year. And that's what led me to try to write my own songs and, you know, the frustrations that come with not being able to write the songs that I feel in my heart. And it was just, you know, sometimes your life experiences prepare you to see something that's there, but that other people just haven't had those experiences yet to be able to recognize the opportunity. And so knowing a little bit about computational creativity and the possibilities there and knowing what I knew about songwriting and the struggles I was having, it was right there. It was right there.
So funny hearing that, because I came into marketing through a design background. And obviously, like, most people get into design because they were a visual artist first. You know, we all start with like pen and paper and drawing. But what you just said, I'm like, oh, that maps so well to like where, I mean, as a visual artist, you're like, you have this grand vision of like what something could be, yet your ability and skill to be able to bring it to life is sometimes it's just not there. It takes more practice, more reps. And I have been finding with AI on a visual side that it's giving me tools to be able to unlock my creativity, and maybe even from lack of skill of being able to get it there or just time fiddling with something, I'm being able to find and make things faster and actually get to where I'd kind of dreamed of something might be sooner, because I can go to Midjourney and create something quickly and find and select something. So it's interesting. It sounds like it's kind of taking place in a music place as well.
In its own way, it's a little, what we're doing is quite different from the work of Midjourney. I love Midjourney. I think it's so fun. I'm not a visual artist. You know, I dabbled in it as a kid. That does not count. So I'm okay to some degree to have something that's driving the process for me in art, even though there too I get frustrated sometimes that I can't really convey all of my vision. It understands what it understands and it fills it in how it wants to fill it in. It's marvelous. It's magical. But I'm not really driving everything that my company does in music, Wave AI. The user is not only getting help, but they're never getting hindered. That's just as important. You think about a human collaborator. If I'm helping you with something, it's important that at the same time, I don't also hinder you just as much, right? So that's on some level similar, but in very important details, very different perspective on what the role of AI is.
Well, let's dive into it. How do Lyric Studio and Melody Studio work, and what makes them unique? Like how is it guiding the process?
So our products are made entirely for musicians and people who want to be musicians. They're not for people who want music. They're for people who want to make music.
Yeah.
And that attitude is kind of in the DNA of the company. we build our machine learning models, our generative AI models, completely from scratch. So that respect for artists, that need for the model to lean into the artist's style, the need to be infinitely creative, to the same suggestions are never given to two different users. All these ideas that make our AI really helpful to the artist is built completely from scratch. We don't rely on ChatGPT or any of the other large language models. We don't rely on the large music models. We build things from scratch so that it really helps you express your vision rather than kind of replacing you or like doing so much work for you that there is no opportunity for you to express yourself or no opportunity for you to grow as an artist. So it's really the difference between the AI being the star and the AI being a background support actor. And for us, it's really about that support role so that our users should really be the only stars in this show.
So is it something where you kind of have to get it started where do you bring it a rough draft first and then it helps you fill in the gaps? Or is it coming in and like maybe helping you master something?
It's specifically, you know, for lyrics and melodies and chords. So it helps you create those lead sheets, that foundational element of music. But it can work in many different ways. And that's part of the non-invasiveness of the process, that you can get started in a lot of different ways. So for example, somebody brand new can come in and, you know, pick a few topics and just start clicking on the suggestions and quickly build something out. We generate these suggestions one line at a time for Lyric Studio. And, you know, that can be exactly what they needed. They wanted a lot of support, so they lean heavily into the product. On the other hand, we've had an artist who had a song laying in her drawers for 3 years. She pulled out the song, typed it into Lyric Studio, and just wanted help with this second verse. And it helped her with that second verse. And then she was done, right? So help how she needs help. I use it a little differently. I sometimes have one line idea and I generate a lot of thoughts from it. And it helps me lay out my song. It helps me kind of come up with the emphasis for each verse. I don't know if anyone else uses it like this. That's one of my use cases. And then there's a whole bunch of different stuff for Melody Studio that's just as flexible. We had one person who like real time generates the lyrics and sings them in real time as they get generated. And it's beautiful. Yeah. It just like really fits his workflow. And there are so many more examples with how Melody Studio gets used as well.
What are some of the processes you've trained the AI on in order for it to be better at coming up with lyrics than something like a ChatGPT?
Well, you know, ChatGPT is, I mean, I'm in such awe of these large models. I really, really am. I don't want anybody to think otherwise. I think they're marvelous. I think they're brilliant. They obviously have problems as well. That's not without that. But I think, you know, the researcher in the space, as an entrepreneur in generative AI, I think it's, you know, credit where credit is due. There's really a lot of amazing, amazing stuff about ChatGPT. The system is what's called convergent. So really the brilliance of OpenAI was that they decided to make a chatbot. So these are generative models, which until ChatGPT called it a chatbot, until OpenAI decided to call it a chatbot, people thought about it as a generative model, which is really conceptually quite different. When we think of a chatbot, we think of something that should have a clue about what it's talking about. For example, you could ask it some simple questions, you know, some really basic math, or maybe questions about when different countries were founded, and you expect answers that are correct. And maybe this seems trivial, but it's really not. Because when you take a generative model that's inherently hallucinatory, inherently imaginative, and you want it to start giving you the right answer to some stuff, you have to make a lot of decisions in the construction of the model to end up in that space. We are not constrained by that. Lyric Studio does not need to know anything about, you know, how to cook, what ingredients go well together, what the weather is like in different parts of the world. It just needs to know how to write lyrics. And we give it permission to be as imaginative as possible because it's not constrained. Again, there is no notion of right or wrong. And that's one of the core kind of foundational principles that make our models really orders of magnitude more creative than any LLM ever could be.
That's interesting. So hallucinations actually are a benefit in your case because
hallucination
in a way it can be creative if it comes up with a weird way of saying something. You're kind of like, actually, that kind of works because lyrics kind of always were that way.
Hallucinations are in the DNA of of generative AI. It's calling it hallucinations is actually kind of funny. The word choice is funny. Hallucinations are associated with something negative, right? Like when I generally say, she's hallucinating, it's like a bad thing. But when a human being is being imaginative, oh no, that's positive, imaginative, creative, right? So we have chosen a negative word to talk about the capabilities of these systems because we are thinking about, because we want the machine to be convergent. We want the machine to do boring things and be right. Meanwhile, these machines are better suited for the imaginative, wild, crazy, imaginative applications. And if we don't try to shove them into the convergent box, then suddenly the fact that they're hallucinating is obviously an advantage.
That's an interesting way to frame it. What word did you use to describe it?
I mean, I've been in the field for 10 years before the rise of generative AI, and these are creative machines. That's a word I use. They're creative. And maybe ChatGPT is not creative enough for some people, but my models definitely are creative.
On the Melody Studio side, how is it helping musicians craft better music?
So the core there is to help create a lead sheet. I'm going to talk first about our most recent use case because I'm so excited about it. So we just added the capability of our musician users uploading a backing track. So any beat that they already have, they get to upload it to the system. And then the system can help them write lyrics as well, or they can bring their own. And then the system comes up with top line melodies, with the vocal melodies that fit the lyrics and fit the backing track.
Wow.
And that's such a game changer. I'm so excited about this. And so that's already out. It's already rolled out. People are already using it. We're just so, so thrilled to be able to offer that. The default use case used to be just the same thing, but without the backing track. So that's when a musician wants to build a song from scratch, kind of starting with the lyrics and melodies, and then later bringing in the music production. We also have people, you know, guitar players, piano players, who use AI to ultimately make instrumental music. Because for me, it's really not about the new replacing the old. I'm an opera singer and a piano player, right? Like, so that synthesis, like when people use our AI tools to go back to instrumental music, which is what I do very often, I think that's really cool. You know, in addition to our very many users who essentially use our tools to create modern music that includes digital audio workstations in some part of the process.
Can you discuss any challenges or limitations musicians face when using AI?
In general or our tools specifically?
We can start in general and then and zoom into your tools.
There's a lot of it's a lot of challenges. And you know, the longer I'm in the space, the more I'm on the musician side, partially because I am a musician. And partially because they're right. They have a lot of concerns, a lot of concerns. How can they not have a lot of concerns? Like, look what streaming did to them. It used to be if you were, you know, you could be a small scale musician and make a living. It's almost impossible these days to make a living through your music because you can't sell CDs, right? And streaming just pays so, so little to what CDs used to pay. It's really, the gap is wild. And this all happened sort of just without the cooperation, agreement, or anything of musicians. It just sort of happened to them as opposed to even, you know, not even with them. And I don't want the same thing to happen with AI. They don't want the same thing to happen with AI. I don't want the same thing to happen with AI. You know, and sometimes when companies say, we're helping artists, you go and you try their tool, and it's just not true. It's just not true. You pick a few parameters and it writes the whole song for you. In what universe is that helping? That's replacing, right? And musicians are smart people. They can tell the difference between helping and replacing. So, and sometimes, I mean, I should give credit where credit is due. You know, you have very, very creative people who take these tools that are not really designed to work with them, and they still find ways to use these kind of replacive tools inside of their creative process because they're creative people. So sometimes they find a way anyways, but they're also feeling that, you know, the threat as a result. And so I actually feel a lot of personal responsibility here in being on the right side of history. So in a universe where automated music generation gets progressively better, so music that really doesn't need a person very much or doesn't need a musician, in a world where this kind of music exists, we definitely need the best possible tools to help artists. So that's where my work comes in.
It's fascinating. So I don't know. I definitely thought for a while, especially on more of the visual side, that these tools are going to replace them. The more I play with it, and as good as they are, I'm like, you know what? This is only going to be enhancing what they do. Like that you, I guess you could go in the far future and just be like, write me 100 songs, and it makes 100 songs, and you pick a few that worked better and then submit them to the streaming services or whatever is available then. But at the same time, musicians are going to be able to do it better than everybody else because they just have the ear for what is good or what should be or what could be. I mean, it's a problem with Midjourney for most people is they don't have the vocabulary to even describe what they want. Right?
It's very, very true. It's an interesting landscape, but it's not entirely clear yet where it's going to land. I think, like yourself, I tend to be optimistic. I tend to believe that human creativity will survive and will definitely survive, but will sort of like remain dominant for a variety of reasons. But at the same time, I like to, just if I'm being really sincere, I think there is some threat. And I think artists and musicians don't want any threat to their livelihood. So they're not okay with like a small percent of it being carved out because there's already not enough. There's already so many talented people that can't make a living on their art and craft and musicianship. So is some damage going to happen? That's possible. And that's, we need to be responsible, do our best, and to just take their concerns seriously. That's my take.
Can you share a success story of somebody using your tool in order to make a masterpiece that maybe they would have had a hard time doing or taken a much longer time or been impossible before?
Oh, there's so much of that. Oh my goodness. That's why we do what we do, right? Yeah. So, I mean, one of my favorite stories is Curtis King. About a year and a half ago now, he made an album called DIY2 that, you know, Lyric Studio, he used to aid in his lyric creation. And it ended up being number one on the iTunes hip hop charts for a while. So that was just so awesome to hear. Just totally made my week when I heard that. But then there's so much more. There are just these beautiful pieces of music that we get sent sometimes. And then, you know, we find out that somebody won a contest, you know, got money on it. I know that some artists who write a lot of music and they kind of make a little bit of money on each song, that they use our system to be more efficient, which is also kind of a valid use case. They just able to write faster and more, which in, as a result, they make more money, which is excellent. But then like, for me, like it doesn't have to be like a monetary or an award for it to be a success story. There was this one, like several, like really incredible songs that I heard. I was like, wow, this is just so good. And we only hear the songs when our users choose to send them to us. Otherwise, it's complete privacy. So in case of, you know, those few songs that were shared with us, the people who made them, they said that they wouldn't have been able to make them without our tools. They were missing certain skills like lyrics writing or melody creation. It's like, wow, this song would not have existed without our tools. And this person would not have been able to express it. And sometimes it's such personal stories that get expressed in these songs. So really, I mean, we've helped millions of people write music. But, you know, even one song that we helped get out there and help the artists share what's in their heart, I think it's kind of priceless for me.
Absolutely. And hopefully these stories that you're sharing now convince more people. But if for those who are skeptical, for those who are, and many musicians are, right? Like musicians are kind of a skeptical bunch when it comes to sometimes technology or business or a lot of other things. What advice would you give for those who are kind of on the edge and not sure they want to try out an AI tool as part of their workflow? What advice would you give to them?
I think the first thing that I'd say is that I get it. Given the tools that are popular nowadays, I can understand why people are, you know, some people find it hard to believe that there are tools that are genuinely helpful for artists. What I can say is that within the first few minutes, musicians get our tools. Like it's not a long process. They try, they're like, oh, that is actually helping me. And then they get really excited. So I do hope you check it out, but you know, we are here to be part of your creative journey if this is something that you'd like. And I'm perfectly happy to respect it if musicians, you know, some people are purists in different ways, and that's also good. If some people feel strongly about not using AI, I can respect that as well.
Yeah. And I hope there will be some people who never do, you know, and go all analog everything, because there's something beautiful about that too, right?
There is, right? And we really need artists of all kinds, and I really don't think there's any tool that's for everybody. And I think that's okay. I think, you know, as people who make music tools, I think we need to be comfortable with that and give people the invitation. You know, one way that we give people the invitation is that you can try our tools for free, right? And I think that's in part because we want to respect that. It's a very new tool, so people should be able to play around with it for free. It's not credit card backed. You just go in, play with it a little bit, see if you like it before deciding if you want to add it to your repertoire. And then also, like, most people don't tell anybody that they use our tools. So it's just, and there's no way to tell. You'll never be able to tell. It's not like ChatGPT where it's detectable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for those listening and want to get started with it, where's the best place to start? Would you start with just one or one tool or the other, or would you kind of dive into both?
Well, it depends. We have a lot of rappers, for example, who just use Lyric Studio because that's kind of a perfect, very, very simple interface, just focusing on lyrics. But if you think you could, if you're curious how AI could be a little bit helpful to brainstorm melodies for your top line, if you are a singer and, you know, you have your beats that you get somewhere, or your producer, you create your own beats with Melody Studio, you could see, kind of like explore the space of possibilities for what type of top line melodies can work on top of these beats that you have. Yeah, so it depends on who you are. You could test out one or the other product.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining me on the show and helping us understand where AI can really help musicians succeed and fill in some gaps or just complement their current skill sets.
My absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.